Remembering those who have given their lives for our country, we appreciate that sacrifice. And we're free today. We're able to have church because they've kept us free. And it's a tremendous cost for the lives of those who have given their all. And so today I'm going to be ministering out of the book of 2 Samuel. The sermons have been coming rather easy, but this one was a little more difficult. I got these scripture this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verses, we're going to kind of go over 6 through 27 and not read them all. But that's where we're going to start. Does anyone have a testimony since you won't have a chance to say anything tonight? Praise God. I believe God wants us to be comforted and blessed and feel His presence. I'm praying a lot for the Spirit of God just to fill this place to where there's not a place, there's not a corner you can go that you don't feel the presence of God. Look, we've been pastors for a couple, 3 weeks or something like that. And I realize one thing, we're not going to make a big difference in the church growth. But I believe the Holy Spirit will and can. It's hard to grow from this size too much larger, but God, through His Spirit, can do all things. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And I pray that the Lord's Spirit keeps you encouraged and blessed. Anyone else want to give glory to Jesus? Sharon? Wow.
That was such a blessing. So it lifts you up, and I'm just thankful for music. It
blesses me. Amen. I agree with you, Sharon. I think music is such a wonderful blessing and encouragement. I've listened to one song today already 5 times, and I keep saying, well, Lord, is that a need that I have? And the Lord spoke to me and said, absolutely, it's a need that you have, and I want you to understand that He heals the brokenhearted, and He binds up every wound. Kim Coleman sings that one too. And I've listened to it 5 times. And I said, Lord, I think I'm happy. And the Lord said, how about this that you pray for every day? And I said, you're right. I need to be healed and strengthened. Thursday, Franklin Graham's going to be at the Redwood Amphitheater. And he's doing a tour in California. Pray for him. Even if you're not able to go, pray for Brother Franklin Graham. I think With God's help, California can become a different place. And it needs to become a different place. Now, I'm not trying to get political, but I'll tell you what, folks, politics is spirit. Spirit is politics. And the devil has run this place too long, and we need to get the devil out and get the Lord in where the Lord can do something for us. I've got a lot that I want to share with you. Anyone else want to share a testimony? Because, Jim? Amen. 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 Ooh, maybe we'll get 2 years without surgery. That would even be better, or more. Audrey led the song, America the Beautiful. Verse 2 says, O beautiful for pilgrim feet, whose stern, impassioned stress, a thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God, mend thine every flaw. We have flaws in America. Confirm thy soul in self-control and liberty in thy law. That to me is absolutely awesome. We need self-control. And what's not being taught to the children, and even high school age, where they're shooting one another almost every day, no one's taught them to not do that. Stop. You're not supposed to kill each other. And they're taught that they're so valuable and so important that anybody that stresses them ought to die. That is a lie from the devil. And we need to pray that God would really touch our country with freedom comes by law, and laws are important. So 2 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to read a little bit. I was going to try to paraphrase, but I think I'm going to read a little bit of this. Then the young man who told him said, this he'd come before David. He said, and as it happened by chance to be on Mount Gilboa, there was Saul leaning on his spear. And indeed, the chariots and horsemen followed after him. Now, when he looked behind him, he saw and called me. To me, and I answered, here am I. And he said, who are you? So I said, I'm an Amalekite. And he said to me again, please stand over me and kill me, for anguish has come upon me, and my life still remains in me. So I stood over him and killed him, because I was sure that he could not live after he had fallen. I took the crown that was on his head and the bracelet on his arm, and had brought them here to my Lord. Therefore David took hold of his own clothes and tore them, and did all the men who were with him, and they mourned. And this is really the emphasis of our text today. And they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord, for the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. Let's pray. Lord, I ask blessing upon your word today. And Lord, that it might mean something to us, and that we might be stirred in Lord, appreciation for our own that have fallen. This country has lost a lot of men and women in war and in battle just to keep us free, to keep the nation as one. And I pray for your blessing. In Jesus' name, upon this word, amen. So they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and Jonathan his son, for all the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. Initially, Saul was wounded by the enemy, but he didn't want to die by the enemy's last effort. He wanted his armor bearer to kill him, at least one of the family, one of our own, and he wouldn't do it. He fell on his own sword. And this guy just happened to come along somewhat in the right time, and in other ways not so right for him. He came and he brought David the news, and David and all that were with him began to mourn, began to show respect for those who had died. Saul gave David fits, but Jonathan loved David and was very compassionate and absolutely ministered to David. And so David lost Saul, who had made himself an enemy, but David still had respect for the anointing of the king. And so he mourned that and didn't look back. David said to the young man, "Where are you from?" And he said, "I'm the son of an alien and an Amalekite." So David said unto him, "How was it that you were not afraid to put forth your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" The armor bearer knew better, but this fellow didn't. And David called one of the young men and said, "Go near and execute him," and struck him so that he died. So David said to him, "Your blood is on your own hand, for your own mouth has testified against you, saying, 'I have killed the Lord's anointed.'" It's kind of hard to understand this, but this is just justice and the way that David felt led of the Lord to handle this situation. If you're bothered by injustice today, how many's really bothered by injustice? You get upset. Well, you can be upset all the time because there's injustice flowing just like a big old river. But God is watching over all. All of the people in our military who have died were not Christians. We understand that. But we respect all life that's been given for our freedom. Amen? And then on Memorial Day, I want to tie in a couple of three things, if we could. Number one is to honor the military who have died. Someone recently, a political figure, was honoring some of the living soldiers on Memorial Day, and someone whispered in their ear and said, "This is for the ones who are not here. So you need to change your honor." And so I think that change was made rather quickly. We have Veterans Day to honor all, living and past. But I'd also like to honor our family members who have passed away. Debbie's going to share about her grandma, Nail. I never met Grandma Nail. I missed her by a year or two. And I wish I'd had the chance to know her. Everyone speaks well of her. Everyone that I've ever met. And oh yeah, she was a precious lady. And I believe with all my heart she was a precious lady. I wish I'd met her. I'll meet her later in eternity. And that'll be a good time. David lamented with lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. And he told them to teach the children of Judah the song of the bow. This is recorded in the next few verses, 19 through 27. And indeed it was written and in the book of Jasher. "The beauty of Israel is slain on your high places." So may we also attribute this to those fallen in America who have given their lives for us. "How the mighty have fallen. Tell it not in Gath, proclaim it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice and the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. O Mount of Gilboa, let there be no dew or rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For the shield of the mighty is cast away there, the shield of Saul, not anointed with oil, from the blood of the slain and from the fat of the mighty. The bow of Jonathan did not turn back. The sword of Saul did not return empty. Saul and Jonathan were beloved and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, and they were stronger than lions." David begins to lift up these who had been courageous and fought against the enemy. "O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet and with luxury, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan was slain in your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me, and your love was wonderful, surpassing the love of women. How the mighty have fallen, and the weapons of war perished." I almost didn't read this because of the part that says, "Your love to me is wonderful, surpassing the love of women," because this has been perverted by some. But this is the word of God, and this is truth. And David wasn't speaking of an untoward relationship with Jonathan. He was teaching about a bond. Jonathan was the heir to the kingdom. And he was willing to bow down and let David take that kingdom and go with it. That's the sacrificial love. And then Jonathan died in the battle, and there was no more consideration. David then was made king after a while, and then finally united the kingdom after a couple of years. Oftentimes when we're doing funeral services, we turn to 1 Corinthians 15. And verses 50 through 58 are often read many times at the graveside. And we say, "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall all not sleep." And sleep, of course, is referring to death. "But we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. The trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. And when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. What you do for the Lord is not here only. But what we do for the Lord and the relationship that we have with Him is going to endure throughout eternity. Oh, what a wonderful hope that this body that knows pain is going to be changed, and we're not going to have to worry anymore about those knees, shoulders, neck pain. And, you know, we can wake up in the morning and hurt just because we slept wrong. How in the world can you sleep wrong? I don't know, but I've done it a few times, and I didn't mean to. My goal was not to sleep wrong, but we're going to be changed. Not only are we going to be changed where there's no pain, we're going to be changed to where death is behind us. And then before us is eternity, and guess what? Jesus is going to pay the light bill. You don't have to worry about anything. You will be provided for throughout eternity. What a wonderful blessing. To go along with this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be, starting in 13, reading through 18, but I do not want you to be ignorant. How many's glad we're not wanted to be ignorant? Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. In other words, don't think that they're just gone. Don't think. A lot of people believe that when you die, you just die and there's no more you. That's not true. There is a you that lives on. And there is a you that if we're not saved, if we're not born again, we're going to live on in hell throughout eternity. But if we're saved, we're going to live in with the Lord throughout eternity, and we're going to be blessed forever and ever and ever. I want you to understand, those that have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. We have our family members, our friends, our service members that are born again are living with the Lord forever. Don't worry about them. They're better. They're in a better place. It's hard. I'm not saying we don't sorrow. We sorrow. I'm not saying that our sorrow only lasts a year or two. Our sorrow lasts as long as we live. We miss our family. We miss them, but we know where they're at. We have an accounting, and God's word has told us we don't have to worry. God's more or less said, "I've got them in my arms. You don't have to worry. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say by the word of God, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with him, with them in the clouds, and meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. When you know Christ, there's life forever. When you know Christ. If we don't know Christ, there's not that life. And both of these are speaking of the rapture of the church, but they give comfort for those who've already gone on. Now, Paul was writing this, we which are alive and remain. Now, Paul's on the other side. He's with those who have already gone on. And so we won't prevent him and the others from coming with the Lord and then coming to receive us unto themselves. In Christ, we have hope beyond this life. But we still need to honor those who have passed away. Honor their memory. Remember them. Remember them. Psalms 116 and 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. It's hard, but it's also a holy, precious time. It's hard because I watch my dad slip away. It's hard to let him go. But as soon as dad was on the other side, there was peace. And God, we've seen a few take that last breath and go on and be with the Lord. But again, forever they're with the Lord, and forever they have everything they need. Proverbs 10 and 7 says, the memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. I want to be blessed, don't you? I want everything to be blessed. Memorial Day in America is a holiday that was probably, it could have gone on way back into the 1700s. But after the Civil War in the 1860s, in the South it was 1866, a lot of the Southern women began to take flowers and strew them all over the graves of those who had died. They kind of had an idea that we're doing this because of the worthless cause. In other words, the South lost, and they felt like it was a waste of their family members. But but they still remembered their service. And the North picked it up in about 1868. There's a real contention over who started it. Savannah, Georgia said, we started it. Charleston, South Carolina said, it belongs to us. Gettysburg, Pennsylvania said, no, it was first started here. And then Decatur, Illinois, and Waterloo, New York also made a claim. President Johnson in, I think, 1966 said it belongs to Waterloo, New York. Guess what? Those other places disagree with President Johnson. But in June the 28th, 1968, there was the Uniform Monday Holiday Act. How many remember that? I don't either. But it said that instead of having Memorial Day on May the 30th, we're going to have it the last Monday in the month of May. And so it kind of ties together the beginning of summer, Memorial Day. And then Labor Day is the end of summer, and that's also one of those Monday holidays to give three-day weekends to people who work hard and deserve three, probably four, or maybe a month vacation anyway. But we'll rest it with that. In 1971, it was fully accepted. And Memorial Day is to remember those who died in service for our country. It probably was picked up from the South because they'd been doing a Decoration Day for a long time, especially the mountain people. They'd get together. They had family cemeteries like we do in Kentucky. We have two. We have one on the Sailor side and one on the Haines side. And I don't know about the Sailor side because they've got a mine up in there now, and I'm not sure how that sets and how the access is. But the Haynes side, I was there in 71, and it was still clear, and you could get up to it. You'd take a billy goat to climb the hill, but it's still there up on a hill. And so people would come out, and they would make their flowers out of crepe paper or whatever. Or when they progressed to plastic flowers, it was an exciting time because they lasted longer, and they looked better anyway. But they would put out the flowers, decorate the graves, and have dinner on the grounds. If I'm going to have a picnic, I'd rather go to a park than a cemetery. But I don't want to take away from the people honoring those that have passed on. I think that's important. I think remembering those. And so there's a lot to Memorial Day. Who knows exactly where it came from, but what we do know is that it's a good thing to honor those who have passed, and we want to do that. That's the history that I have of the Memorial Day in remembering the family. When I was old enough to remember, we were taught about a sister that we had, Peggy. We always called her Little Peggy. She died at 7 or 8 months, something like that. She was Down syndrome, premature birth, and my dad used to say that they put her in a shoebox when she was born. She was so small. And that made that for a bed. And then when she got a little bigger, they pulled a drawer out of the... Now, remember, Mom and Dad started in a chicken coop for a house, so they weren't living in luxury. And they pulled out a drawer and made her a bed in the drawer. So it was a difficult time, and what was available medically back then was really difficult. She passed away. We were always aware that she lived, always to remember that we had a sister in heaven. And then with my first grandparent that died was Grandpa Sailor. He was a great tall guy, and he had a mule named Old Joe that he'd bring from the barn to the house, and the kids better stay away. I mean, because Old Joe was spooky, and Grandpa didn't want to get himself trampled, so he'd bring him to the house and water him. I had Grandma and Grandpa Blanton, and Grandma Sailor passed away last. Grandpa Haynes passed away in 1971. He got run over by a car, which was sad because he was up in age 70, I think he was 75 or 6. And sad to see him die that way, but they've gone on. And just recently, Mom and Dad passed away. Mom in 2015 and Dad, Mom in 2000. Uh-oh, might have forgotten. Dad was 2016, I believe, or 15, and Mom fought about 10 years before that. And it's sad, it's hard to let go of family. It really is. But the memories are worthwhile. We need to hold on. We need to cherish the memories that we have. Debbie's going to come and share a memory of her grandmother, Grandma Nail, and the reason I'm asking Debbie to help me is because she's capable and she's willing. So I'm taking advantage, basically.
Somewhat capable and maybe a little bit willing. He didn't ask me until 9:30 last night.
Okay, last minute.
So this is fairly short, and I hope I have the facts part right, but I know I have the remembrance part right. Grandma's name was Ari, A-R-I-E, Standridge. She was born around 1905, but I don't know what state she was born in, possibly Arkansas or Oklahoma. Christy, if you know from the things that you've seen, no, that we're not sure. And she died at about 64 years old. She was very young. Grandma had been given the name Ira, I-R-A, on her birth certificate because no one knew how to spell Ari, which was common in that day. She had one sister who was named Opal, and as straight-laced as our grandma was, Aunt Opal was the complete opposite. And they adored each other. Grandma looked very American Indian. She was short. She had very dark hair and very dark eyes. Grandma married Bill Nail, who had a sister named Edna, who married Uncle Lois Alford and had two daughters, Virginia and Joan, who were my mother's cousins. And as many of you know, Virginia was raised in this church. She has lunch with the ladies on Wednesdays. And her two daughters, Danielle and Taylor, visited us on Mother's Day. Grandma had a hard life. She was the only female in a logging camp where she worked as the camp cook, and Grandpa logged the trees. She had three children, Leroy, who died before he turned 2 years old, my mother, Autry, and our Aunt Carol June, whom my mother named. We only saw Grandpa a couple of times in our lives. I remember Grandma being very tall, but it was clear from the pictures that we've seen that she wasn't tall at all, but she had very good posture, and I'm sure that's why I thought of her as being tall. She always wore black lace-up pumps, very sturdy and sensible shoes with stockings that were very thick. But the shoes must have hurt her feet, because every time we spent the night with her, she would ask us to soak her feet and cut off her corns. Grandma walked everywhere she went, or she took the bus because she didn't have a car or know how to drive. We loved to spend the night with her, apart from having to treat the corns. She was a bit eccentric. She was funny, and she loved us very much. Her favorite program on television was wrestling. W-R-A-S-L-I-N. Not wrestling, but wrestling, which she never missed. She drank water from a ladle hanging beside the kitchen sink in her house, and we did too when we stayed with her. Grandma lived a very simple life, and she had few amenities. I'm sure money was scarce, but we didn't know that. She washed her laundry until it sparkled, and then she hung them outside to dry in the sun. And to this day, I have never had sheets or towels that smelled as sweet as hers did or were as soft. We never went to bed at Grandma's house without washing our feet first. Didn't matter that we had just taken a bath and walked 10 steps from the bathtub to the bed, we washed our feet before we got in the bed. I can't recall much in the way of food that she cooked, but she did use salt pork for flavor in everything she cooked. I remember that she made the best cakes. They were so ugly, only their mother could love them, but they tasted wonderful. Sometimes when she lived in the big house on Gilman Avenue, which wasn't big, but it sat up high from the road, so it seemed big to us, she would take us downtown San Jose on the bus, and we would have lunch at the Woolworth counter. That was special. We always walked to church with Grandma, and that was so much fun, but we had to hold her hand because she was very afraid of the cars. Grandma was a prayer warrior. She had many, many friends. All the young men in the church adored her. The ladies were her prayer partners. God was her provider, her friend, her savior, her all. She always had an open Bible on the kitchen table and another one by her bed, and she wrote in them, and she saved scraps of little papers and things that she had heard, sermons and things that she had read. And just a few years ago, we were very fortunate that many of those were found after they had survived a fire. We loved to sit with her in church. She was strict. No toys, no entertaining things allowed to keep a child quiet. But she always carried a beautiful, clean, starched handkerchief, and she would give it to us to play with during church. what do you do with a handkerchief? I don't know, but we spent many hours in church sitting by her playing with her handkerchiefs. When I began to play the piano in this church at age 15, Grandma sat right about there. The seats were arranged differently, but she sat right about there. And one Sunday morning, I made the mistake of going to the piano with chewing gum in my mouth. When I was done, I walked down from the piano, it was on this side, and walked around and sat down beside her. And she picked up a tissue out of her purse and held her hand out and said, "Spit out the gum and don't ever go to the piano with gum in your mouth again." And to this day, I have not. Now, if I have a cough, I might use a throat lozenge, but it won't be gum. Toward the end of her short life, she was very ill and sometimes not very responsive, except when Brother and Sister Watson would go to pray for her, and she would begin to pray along with them in tongues. She was a spirit-filled grandma. Her funeral was a rejoicing session. No more pain, no more poverty, no more hardships. And I remember that I wore her favorite outfit to her funeral. I had made it. It was a dark purple jumper and a light lavender crepe blouse, and she loved it. So that's what I wore to her funeral. We all miss her. Grandma made a difference in our lives. She left a godly legacy with us, and I know it will be a grand reunion when we see her again in heaven.
Well, I know that I don't have to give Debbie long. She can come up with something quick. And we're glad to see Jan visiting with us today. And so Jan and Terry and Debbie and Christy and Cindy all had a grandma and Michelle. A grandma that was a prayer warrior that cared. She prayed. She's already prayed for you guys, eternal prayers. And we're going to see you blessed for the rest of your lives, because she cared. We remember the family, also remember the church family. Brother and Sister Wolf were here when I first came to the church, and they were good people. Now, I found out later that Sister Wolf may have been involved in making pastries, German pastries, and I never tasted one. I thought, boy, I was on the wrong end of that deal. I heard about it, but I'd like to have tasted it. But such precious people. And when Brother Wolf passed away, I prayed for him over at his place just over across Campbell Avenue, and he prayed for me. And he said, "Bless this little pastor." And I thought, little? I'm bigger than you are. But he was a giant in the Lord, and I was so thankful that he cared. I mean, I couldn't get away praying for him only. He had to pray for me, and he was concerned. I appreciate that. Brother and Sister Nelson, some of the very early members of the church. I wish we had a good history of the church. I don't feel like I have enough information, but appreciate their service for the Lord. And Brother and Sister Lyle. Brother Lyle was our secretary treasurer, but he could also fix anything. He fixed a stand that I used for Bible study, put a clamp on it, and it used to, I put books on it, go, psh, and he fixed it, never had a problem with it again. Sister Lyle taught the Bible class, and at one point, all of the young marrieds had kind of gone away, and we had a few, and we joined the Bible class. And Sister Lyle was a great teacher. She also sang, led worship and sang specials, and so anointed and blessed us so much. We have had great leaders in our church and prayer warriors, Sister Kincaid and Sister Palatier. I don't think you could have ordered people any better for the church. Sometimes they had concerns, and they let us know what the concerns were. and we dealt with the concerns. Sister Delilah Kincaid has just recently passed, but what a mighty lady in the Lord. Our pastors, I don't know all the pastors, but I think Brother Corin was before Brother Throckmorton, and I'm not sure. Maybe it was the other way around. If you can correct me if you'd like. Brother Corin was a great preacher. Brother Throckmorton, different, but also a great preacher. Brother Pauls, Brother Hastings, and Brother Watson, of course. Brother Watson was pastor of the church twice. And I don't know. I just think it was a miracle for him to come back. There was a lot of things that Brother Watson had made statements, I will never do this. But he did it in coming back to pastor the second time. When he pastored the first time, he and Sister Watson, Debbie and Terry and Jan and all, were young teenagers. But then when he pastored the second time, our kids were teenagers. Sister Watson taught the boys, well, the boys and girls in the teenage class. And they remember well her teaching. She didn't mess around, boys. She taught them just straight up, and they had to go along with that. But when Brother Watson came back the second time, he did something that I think was so wonderful. He had a church reunion. He brought back the pastors. Brother Corin was here. Brother Throckmorton wasn't able to make it, or he may have already been passed. Brother Pauls, Brother Corin, Brother Pauls, Brother Hastings, and I think that's all. But it was a wonderful time. We had the church filled with people who had come in, and I just thought, wow, that's so. I think everybody. Brother Smith was here too. Everybody preached, but Brother Watson. I thought, and he was a great preacher. As good as any, better than most. But he wanted to have others come in, and he preferred them, and I appreciate that. Does anyone have anything to share about either family or someone in the church that's touched you? We're going to pray and wrap this up. I'm not going to stay until midnight tonight, I promise. Anyone? Well, then we'll stop right now if that's the case. But I want us to stand. And Debbie, would you come to the piano? So Memorial Day, all about remembering and appreciating those who sacrificed for us for our military, but also all the people that have gone on, that have inspired us in the Lord, that have prayed for us. There was one time I was right at the front of the church, and as Debbie said, it was three pews then, one on this side, one on this side, and one in the middle. And I was there and I was praying. It was just before Brother Watson came, and Sister Lyle came and said, you need to stop. Is it? Stop what? She said, you're praying mad. And you need to let go and let God work this out. I said, I know. But I was mad because of the way things were happening in the church. Because of the politics that was going on. And I wanted to see God's will be done in the church. And I felt very strongly that Brother Watson was the one that could help us. Brother and Sister Watson went into several troubled churches that were big churches that were teetering because of what the leadership had done. And they came in and gave it a solid anchor and a good foundation. And those churches today, many of them are experiencing great blessing. Our church wasn't on that scale, a large church, but we needed solid foundation. We needed Pentecostal teaching and truth, and we got that. Sister Lyle was right. I was praying mad, and I listened to what she said and stopped it. I said, Lord, I can't make it happen, but you can. And that's why I say there's a lot of things. Brother Watson said, I'll never be voted on more than one time. And I think we might have voted on him three times. And then the third time, he was voted in as pastor. And he came and gave us such a wonderful ministry and leadership. I appreciate our leaders. I really do. Everyone that has served in this church and everyone that has been a prayer warrior. Folks, we can't stop. We have to continue the vision. And they've prayed for us already. I want us to take a moment and just pray and thank God for everybody. Now, I came from a different church. I was in Alameda and I had my older people that were a blessing and inspiration. My pastor Wood was one of the people that had such an influence on me, and I thank God for him. There may be people like that in your life that you want to be thankful for. Let's show the Lord that we appreciate all those who have led us, and thank the Lord, thank Jesus for the sacrifice that gives us hope. Someday we'll meet again. Let's pray together. Lord, we're thankful for your Spirit. And we're thankful, Lord, that we can remember people who have served and have blessed and have strengthened our lives. Those who have loved us and prayed for us. Lord, those who have given us good counsel. I pray, Lord, that you'll bring blessing upon us. Lord, that you've heard their prayers years ago. How they wanted Calvary Temple to stay on target with the teaching and the preaching. And how that the Holy Spirit must be in control. I pray, God, that you'll touch every memory and let us appreciate. We're not living in the past, we're living today. But we're living here today because of what's been done and the work and the prayers and the preaching of your word. Lord, we thank you for sending your Son that we could have eternal hope. And today, Lord, help us to be an inspiration to those that are coming along. I pray that you'll add to the church daily such as should be saved. I pray, Lord, that you'll minister to each and every one. That you'll touch, Lord, the memory of every lost soldier that fought for this country. I pray, Lord, that you'll touch the families because they weren't the only ones impacted. When a man or a woman died, their family suffered. I pray, God, that you'll bring a touch and a healing and a comfort. I pray for those that are still living, that have lived years without their husband or son or daughter and wife. I pray, Lord, that you'll bring comfort, that you'll comfort each one of us who've lost family members. Strengthen the Kincaid family, Lord. I pray for your mercy. Lord, that you'll direct us every day. Bring blessing. Let our hearts be full of the precious memories. Strengthen us, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. Praise God. The Lord bless you. Have a wonderful rest of the weekend.